Jesus. And so we're talking about today, one of the words that come to my mind. Is, so the series that we're in is the words of Christmas. And so I did this last week, but we're going to try it again this week. So what is the one word that comes to your mind whenever you think Christmas? Hosanna. Hosanna. Okay, my wife said Hosanna. That was last week's message, and that was a pretty good word. She's the pastor's wife. She knows those things, right? Anybody else? All right, so let's shout it out. One, two, three.
Jesus.
All right. So I heard Jesus that time. And he is the reason for the season. So today, I want to talk to you about the word gifts. Anybody like receiving a good gift? You know, just like it's something that you've wanted. It's something that somebody paid attention to you and to see what you wanted, to see your desires and your likes. And they went out and they bought this really awesome gift and they gave it to you and just meant so much to you. Has that ever happened before? My wife, one time, like we were, I think we were married. Yeah, we were married. We were definitely married. Anyway, she knew that I was into power tools and I liked building things. And I just kind of mentioned to her one day that I would really like this DeWalt 12-inch miter saw, double compound sliding miter saw. And you guys are like, what in the world is that? What are you talking about? But anyway, this was one of the tools that I wished for and I was longing for. It was like $600. And I was like, there's no way she's going to get me this for Christmas, right? Well, lo and behold, she says, Ted, I'd like to buy you that saw for Christmas. I'm like, you know, my mouth dropped. I'm like, are you serious? You know, it's like the greatest gift ever. I use that saw like all the time. I've burned up probably about 10 blades by now since I had it. But I use it all the time, and it was one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. Now, sometimes, how many guys got that one relative, right, that just, whenever they give you a gift, you're like, yeah, okay. You know, you don't really know what you're getting. Maybe you're getting some socks. Maybe you're getting a tie. Maybe you're getting some underwear. I mean, it's that kind of gift, you know. And so you go out on a limb and you buy the nicest gift that you can possibly get for this person, you know, at an affordable price, of course. And then you know that you're not to expect too much, right, because of the gift giver. You're like, well, it's probably not going to be that great. And I remember I have this one relative, and, you know, she's in my life. And so anyway, every year we just kind of dreaded almost the fact that she was coming and give us gifts. Because one time I was like a 12-year-old boy, right? And she got me like this maroon tie. I'm like, a maroon tie for Christmas. Like, I mean, it wasn't like a cool one, like with designs or anything. It was just like this maroon, ugly looking tie. I'm like, come on, man, I'm 12 years old, you know, like, I don't want a maroon tie for Christmas. And I know it's the thought that counts, and we have to say, oh, thank you, you know. But really deep inside, I was like, oh, you could have did something else, right? I'm a 12-year-old boy. I don't want a maroon tie. Anybody ever had a gift like that? You know, you do the gift exchange game, and you're expecting something pretty awesome, and it's like, oh, okay. That's what it is. Be grateful, right? You got to be thankful. You got to fake it sometimes. You got to fake your thankfulness sometimes. I'm so thankful for this gift. All right, what am I going to use this for? Oh, Hope Treasures. Awesome. Hope Treasures. Bring your maroon ties to Hope Treasures. We will sell them for you. Whatever gifts you don't want this year, we will definitely sell them. All right. All money goes towards good things, you know, towards our Hope Extreme and Hope Restored. So bring all your gifts that you don't want this year to Hope Treasures. All right. Just a little side commercial. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And it says this, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And so today what we want to talk about is one of the greatest gifts exchanges that ever took place known to mankind. And so this is better than receiving a maroon tie for Christmas, so much better, and we're going to look at it. So it says, we're going to read it again. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, So these wise men, when you look up this word wise men, it comes from the Greek word magos, or we get this word magicians or magic. They were sorcerers. They were interpreters of dreams and soothsayers. And as we know, this type of behavior was definitely, you know, prohibited amongst God's people. In fact, the Bible would even say that those who practiced such things were an abomination to the Lord. And so these wise men, they were astrologers, they studied the stars, but they also dabbled in this black magic, all right? And so if you guys are kind of freaked out by black magic, hey, look, there's the power of heaven, you know, the power of light and power of God, and then there's also the power of darkness. But we should not be afraid of the black magic and things like this and sorcerers, because the power of God is so much greater than the power of the enemy, amen? But it is a very real power. So let us not just think of this thing as oh, this is just a children's story. No, this is a very real power exists in the air today. There's a good power that comes from God, but then there's also a power of the enemy. And so these guys, these wise men, and perhaps you heard this story before, but you never realized that these guys were dabbling with black arts, with black magic. And so they were living a lifestyle that was contrary to what God had for them. It was totally against the things of God. And so it's interesting, though, whenever God is wanting to reveal his son to the earth, that he would call and that he would show himself to these wise men who were astrologers, who were secular, who were pagans, and begin to draw them closer to his son. We see some examples of this type of black magic in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. The children of Israel are taken captive and brought to Babylon. It is said that they were those who practiced black arts. And one day King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and none of those who practiced these arts could interpret the dreams. And so the king says, well, we're just going to kill them all. Kill them all because we don't have any use for them. And then at that time, Daniel says, no, don't kill them all. Look, I'm going to pray to God, and God's going to show me the dream. And he's going to show me the interpretation of the dream. And so it is. Daniel prays to the Lord. God shows him the dream, and therefore they are all spared. Because ultimately, again, the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. And so in the book of Matthew, whenever it says that Jesus of Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem. Matthew might as well have said this. He might as well have said, the worst of sinners have come to Jerusalem. That's what he should have said. Matthew should have said, the worst of sinners has come to Jerusalem. And so the astrologers, these wise men, They're out in the fields one day, and all of a sudden, so they study the stars. Do we have any stargazers in the house today? You know, you bring out your telescope, your best telescope, and you're looking at the stars, and you're checking them out. Do we have anybody who's into that kind of thing? Nobody? Okay. All right. Moving right along then. And so they were gazing at these stars, and then all of a sudden, one day, they see something very peculiar. It's a star that looks so different than anything else that they have ever seen in their entire life. And it caused them to wonder, and it caused them to think about it. And during that time, they were expecting an eastern power to rise up from the land of Judea. And that from the land of Judea, a king would rise up and he would have prominence over that area. And so whenever they're out in the field and they see this star, they automatically assume a king. The king that they have been waiting for is here. He is on the earth. He is born. We must go to Judea and we must seek out this king. Now, again, these are pagans, all right? These are pagan people. They see a star, and yet they headed to the Jerusalem where God's people dwell. God will bypass religious people, if he has to get a hold of some pagan, some person who does not know the things of God. He will bypass all those who don't believe, all those who think they have it all together, and reach out to that one person who is longing for answers, who is desperate for him, who is desperate to know him. That is really the heart of God. You know, we see this over and over again. And so in verse 2 it says, whenever they got there, the wise men said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Where is he? We know that he's here. Where is he? They didn't ask, is he here? They didn't ask, did you hear about something? Where is he? With full assurance, they knew that he was here. The king of the Jews, that he was here. And so we see, continuing, it says, for we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. We come to worship him. Again, these are pagan astrologers. They see a star that God set up, right? We know that God can only orchestrate the details of this, and that only God can draw man to repentance, is what the Word of God says. No man comes into the Father except the Spirit of God begins to draw him to repentance. So God shows them the star. They begin to go towards Jerusalem, and whenever they come to Jerusalem, they ask, where is he? They come to worship. Now, this word worship, it means to show homage by kneeling, by prostrating oneself, showing a superiority to another person. In other words, I am not worthy. I'm coming, I'm paying homage. You are worthy. I'm laying down my life. I'm laying down who I am. I'm paying homage to something that is so much greater than who I am. Whenever you worship, it's a position. You're prostrating yourself before the Lord and saying, God, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. So again, these are pagan astrologers coming and saying, I am not worthy. And they bow before this young king. And so one thing that we see in this, the first thing, is that they bring this gift. And the first gift that they bring is this gift of worship. And so their motive in coming to Jerusalem was to worship. That was their motive. All right? And so how many guys, maybe you've given a gift before and your motives have not always been to worship. Maybe it's been, I'm going to try to bribe somebody, right? And so you give a gift. Or maybe you give a gift to your boss, right, in hopes that you can maybe score some brownie points, get a raise, get that promotion, whatever it is, right? You butter them up, you give them a gift. So your motives are not necessary to say, man, I just think you're the greatest boss ever. Your motives are like, hey, you know what? What can be done for me, right? What can you do for me? I'm giving you this gift in hopes that you will give me something better, right? So sometimes we need to check our motives whenever we are giving gifts. You know, that includes the gift that you give to your spouse this year for Christmas, right? You know, you don't say, hey, I gave you that, right? You remember whenever I gave you that, then, hey, you know, you need to hook homeboy up. You need to hook me up with something. And so we don't give with the motive of receiving something in return. They gave with the motive of, I'm just coming to worship. I'm coming to give you something that you deserve. I esteem you higher and greater than what I esteem myself. I'm given the gift of worship and adoration. So gifts are given with a certain motive. In verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. So way before these wise men made the journey to Jerusalem, God had made a promise to the Israelites. God had made a promise. Now, it's one thing if I tell you, hey, I'm going to buy you something and it's going to be really nice. It's one thing, right, if you tell your kids, hey, I'm getting you this for Christmas. And you know, this, and you're going to like it, you're going to love it, it's going to be awesome. And I don't come through or you don't come through. You know, that's the frailty of human promises. And perhaps maybe you've been told that in your life before. Maybe someone has promised you a gift. Hey, I'm going to give you this. Hey, I'm going to give you this. And only for it to never happen. But See, that's the frailty of trusting in man's promises. We are flawed people. We are imperfect. But whenever God makes a promise to the children of Israel, it was sure, it was yes and amen, it was going to happen. And so it was prophesied long ago that he was going to send the Messiah, that he was going to send the promised one. And if God promised it, then you can bank on it, it was going to happen. It was going to happen. So Herod, being king of this empire at this time, would have heard, would have known of the prophecies. He was Jewish as well, and so he would have known of these things. But yet somehow along the way, maybe because he had so much success being king, or maybe because, he didn't think it would ever happen. He didn't think the promise would ever happen. Sometimes that's what happens with us. We have a promise that we're holding on to, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen a week from now. It doesn't happen 10 months from now. It doesn't happen 10 years from now. And we grow weary of believing in that promise. Perhaps Herod, as the Jews, said, you know what, this promise of this Messiah, this king, is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. But what they forget is that when, this is God that we're talking about. Whenever he makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it. How many guys are hanging on to some promises this morning? You're believing that your kids are going to line up with the Word of God. You're believing that your families are going to be saved. You're believing for healing in your body. And perhaps you haven't seen it yet, but you're holding on to that promise. Amen? Come on, you're believing for your finances to turn around. You're believing for that job. You're believing for whatever it is. You haven't seen it yet, but you're still believing. You're holding on to that promise. So the problem is when you begin to lose faith, you begin to lose hope, you don't see that promise fulfilled, and you begin to believe that it's never going to happen. I believe that's where Herod was at in this time. He said, it's not going to happen. So he was just enjoying being king, enjoying his dominion over Jerusalem, and just not really worried about the fact that another king is going to rise up, that was going to be far more superior than he was. But then all of a sudden, these wise men from nowhere, from the east, come and said, where is the king of the Jews? We have come to worship him. Now, all of a sudden, he's alarmed. All of a sudden, he's like, uh-oh, maybe it is coming to pass. Oh, maybe this promise is being fulfilled. Maybe he's going to uproot me. Maybe there's going to be some tension. Maybe he's come to take me out of my throne and take me out of my position. And he was alarmed. Verse 7 says, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship. No. And so Herod, at this point in time, had no interest in worshiping Christ. None whatsoever. And so that's the tragedy about gifts. Whenever you give a gift, you expect people to enjoy it. You expect people to receive it and celebrate it. And there will be some who do, but then there will be those who said, I don't want anything to do with it. Herod heard the wise men. He brought them in secretly, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for a child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship. Really, he was set on killing the gift. He was set on killing the gift that God intended to give to all mankind. This was who he was. This was the hatred that was in his life. And in verse 9 it says, after listening to the king, they went on their way. Now, it's pretty interesting that the king at this point just sends them away. And just says, all right, you guys go and seek out Jesus. And whenever you find him, come back and bring me word that I may go and worship him as well. Just fully trusting that they would do exactly as he told them that they would do. So we learn as we read the story later on, that is not the case, because God ultimately had a better plan. But anyway, this king, what's even sadder is that the scribes and the Jews that were there, No one accompanies the wise men to go see Jesus. So not only did the king, he did not send any men along to make sure that it happened, but the Jews who were there in Herod's temple, they had no interest in seeking out what these wise men were seeking. But yet the promise was for them. The promise was for God's people, the Jews, God's chosen possession. That's who the promise was for. But yet, no one is found to be accompanying the wise men during their travel to Jerusalem. These pagans, however, said, I believe. I might not know everything about God, but I believe. Whereas when the promise appeared to the Jews, they say, I don't believe. It's very interesting. It says, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came to the rest of the place where the child was. So there was a season while they were with Herod that the star disappeared. But then after they left Herod, the star reappeared to them. You know, this goes to show how faithful God is. Because here are some wise men from a far distant country. They're coming to worship the king of the Jews. And whenever they find the Jews, you would think that the Jews would be a little bit more excited that they've come to worship their king. But no, they find, you know, they find that they have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with this sought-out Messiah. Nothing at all. But the wise men could have said, well, you know what? Maybe it's not true, you know. But then the Lord, in his favor, just shows them a star again and says, no, you're on the right path. No, you're doing the right thing. Here's the star. Here's the sign. Continue following. Continue seeking. If you seek, you will find. And so they persevered through that. They persevered through the religious people. Even though the religious people had nothing to do with it, they continued on their path. So we see in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That is how a gift is to be received, with joy, right? You can always tell by a person's face whether or not they like your gift that you just gave them, right? And so if you give a gift this year and they're like, oh man, this is awesome, you know, then you know you did pretty good. If you give a gift this year and they're like scratching their heads and like wondering what in the world did you just give them, then you probably didn't nail it this year. You probably just need to rethink your gifts. You can always tell by a person's facial expressions, by their countenance, whether or not that gift is received well. And so it says that they received the gift with exceeding joy. They were exuberant. They were awestruck. This is awesome. They realized, you know, this star just let them really know that, hey, look, their journey, it was not in vain. That they didn't travel all this way for nothing. That God had truly blessed their journey. So it is when we become the faith in Christ, in God. You know, whenever we first come to the Lord, we too experience such a joy. The joy is called the joy of our salvation. And that joy surpasses anything. It surpasses any negativity that we can be experiencing in that time. You know, with the joy of the Lord, he comes and he comes to be our strength. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Whenever you were saved, whenever you gave your heart to the Lord, that you experienced a joy that just overwhelms you. Right, and this is a joy that is continuous. It's a joy that is lasting. This is a joy that gets you through those tough times and those difficult times. You can have joy in your life. And I believe this joy that they experienced came from the Father, from the Spirit of God. I believe the Spirit of God quickened their hearts, and they became joyful. This is where the story begins to get really interesting. In verse 11, it says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. We see the greatest gift exchange throughout all mankind. They were pagans, they were sinners, they were filthy, they were hated by the Jews, they were abomination. They fell down and gave the gift of worship. what they received in exchange for their gift was so much more valuable than what they brought. What they received was the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the Lord, he made this great exchange with them. He said, look, I'm going to take your wickedness and I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to take your sinful past and I'm going to make all things brand new. I'm going to take everything that brings shame in your life and I'm going to bring glory to my name. I'm going to take all those things that have bombarded you and have tried to diminish you, and I'm going to turn them around for my glory. It's the greatest gift exchange ever. And the thing about this story is that it doesn't end with the wise men. It continues with us today. He is wanting, and perhaps most of us are saved in the room, but perhaps there are some people in this place who you feel you're just like the wise men. You feel like, you know what, my whole life is just, I feel like an abomination to the Lord. I have done some sinful things. I have done some wicked things. I don't even feel worthy to come into the house of the Lord. But the beauty about this, it was God who sent the star in the sky. It was God who began to draw the wise men to his son, Jesus Christ. And that same loving Father is here today, and he is drawing you to the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. And if you would bow your hearts, and if you would humble yourselves and worship the Lord and proclaim him as Lord and King of your life, then you can be made whole this morning, and that you can have the greatest gift exchange ever. He will take your wickedness and your sinfulness, and he will make you the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. He wants to wipe you clean and wipe all the sins away and cleanse your heart and give you a pure, pure heart this morning. Amen. So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. If you're in this place and perhaps you know the Lord and you've been serving the Lord for some years now, this message still applies, because look, we are still in the process of giving gifts. We bring gifts daily to the Lord. We bring a heart of worship. We say, God, I'm laying down my life. I want to worship you. Perhaps for you this morning is, what gift will you bring? What gift will you bring the King that is worthy? Will you bring your pride? Will you lay that down on the altar? Will you bring a heart of adoration? Will you say, Lord, you are everything I need? Will you bring a heart of contentment? Say, God, I'm content with the attitude, with the things that you have blessed me with. Will you bring a heart of worship this morning? What gift will you bring the King? And what do you expect to get in exchange for that gift? Come on, because the worship that we give and the praise and adoration that we give our Lord does not compare to what we gain having Christ. Amen. Come on, we gain so much in having Christ. So many people are afraid to come to Christ because they feel like, I have to give up so much. You don't give up anything. You gain everything by coming to Christ. Come on, he is our prize, he is our possession, he is our Lord, he is our King, he is the greatest gift that is meant for to be received with great joy this morning. And so if you're in this place and you're not saved, if you don't know if heaven will be your home, I'm asking you on the count of three to stand to your feet and make a declaration right now in this place that from this day forward, I am living my life for Jesus Christ. One, two, and three. Would you stand to your feet if you're unsure of your salvation? We want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, the greatest gift is here today. It's here for each and every one of you. And notice something about a gift. It's not something earned. It's not something that you can do to earn this gift. It is a free gift from God. So Lord, right now we just come before you, and I lift up each and every person who is standing right now. Lord, as they say, God, today I want to be yours. I want to be your child. God, today I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I humble myself at the foot of Christ. And I say, Lord, be the Lord and Savior of my life. I give you my everything. Would you come and cleanse me, oh God? cleanse me from all of my sin. I proclaim you as Lord. I proclaim you as King of my heart. And as you begin to do that, I just believe that even right now that you would receive the Spirit of God in such a great way, that He would overwhelm you, that He would give you joy surpassingly above all and beyond that you can ever think, that He would fill you right now with the Holy Spirit. So right now, if you have raised your hand, if you're standing up, will you just lift up your hands, and I just want you to receive the presence of God in your life. Receive the gift of salvation in your life. You are His child from this day forward. You are His son. You are His daughter. You have been bought with a price through the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer are you living for yourselves, but you're living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we command Satan right now from this day forward to back off of your life. We declare the protection of the Lord to be around your mind and around your thoughts in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for all those who are standing in this place. God, you said in Romans 10:9, if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. Today we make a confession with our mouths. We confess you as Lord. We confess you as King. We confess our sins. And Lord, today we say we are whole. We are whole. We are made new. We have been bought with a price. Lord, and today we thank you for the greatest gift exchange ever. We thank you for giving us your Son and taking our wickedness and taking our sin, oh Lord. And we give you praise in this place in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. And you guys may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For the rest of us, I just want to just ask a few more questions. What gift will you give the Lord this season? You may ask, you know, there's nothing I can give to add to the Lord. And you're absolutely right. There's nothing that you can give that would make the Lord any better than what He is right now. But whenever we give, it puts our heart in a position of worship. It puts our heart in a position of adoration. God, you are all supreme in our lives. And then in doing so, whenever you bring your gift this season, what is your motive? What is your motive when you come to worship God in the house? When you come to the house of God to worship, what is your motive? Is it simply to say, God, you are worthy? Or is it, God, I'm worshiping you so that you can fix me. I'm worshiping you so that you can bless me, so that you can make me prosperous. I'm worshiping you so that my life begins to line up. Rather than just coming as a wise man and saying, no, I just want to come to the house of the Lord and I just want to bring a gift of worship and adoration. What gift are you bringing? What's your motive that you're bringing the gift? And what do you expect in exchange? Look, as we lay down our lives, we lay down our thoughts and our pride, and we begin to worship with a sincere heart, look, we gain so much more. Amen. We gain Him. And if you have Him in your life, if you have Jesus in your life, you can go through anything this season. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for who you are and for what you have doing in our lives. We thank you for this word, Lord, that you are the greatest gift ever. And, Lord, in exchange for our sin, you've given us your righteousness. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let the church of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah.
If you gave your life to the Lord for the first time, grab a Bible behind the chairs, bring it home, study it, become involved. Wednesday nights are a great place to be involved. There's a women's Bible study. I know Jeremy's doing the men's Bible study this Wednesday. And then we have youth group for our teens, and we have like nursery and kids care. Just come and be involved, grow in discipleship in your walk with the Lord. There's nothing like it. And so, and then next Wednesday, we have a Christmas party. So it's a white elephant Christmas gift. It's gonna be super awesome. Bring a good gift, right? That's what Pastor Ted said. But if you bring a bad gift, it's good too. We're just gonna have a lot of fun. Check it out. It's in your bulletin. We love you guys so much. Hope Treasures will be open in 5 minutes. So if you want to go to the thrift store, it's right behind there. Or donate anything, gifts that you have to the thrift store. We'll take that too. We love you guys. See you Wednesday in Jesus' name. If in El Salvador, we're gonna be right here, right here. If you're interested at all or just want to know more about it, right here in like 2 minutes, El Salvador.